Hi there. Welcome to Open Mic. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with author and director Jim Colgan and his wife, Mary Beth, to talk about a new play called Avoidance. Thank you guys for coming to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, the show opens today, and we'll be playing tomorrow, both shows at 7:30 p.m., and then again on January 27th at 2 p.m. at the Rowan County Arts Center. I saw the poster and the promotional materials for the show, and it's a little in your face right away when you see the word avoidance, and then you see this young woman on this promotional poster with handing someone a syringe. You kind of get the idea of what the play might be about, but tell me a little bit about what people who are going to see the play are going to experience.
Well, Avoidance is a docudrama about the opioid epidemic in Kentucky. It looks at the epidemic from a variety of different angles. That was a decision that we made together when I first started visualizing the play. It looks at the play from the epidemic from the point of view of the medical profession who is trying to treat it, from the point of view of law enforcement who's trying to adapt to it, from the point of view of local and state governments that are trying to deal with it, from the point of view of people who have lost loved ones to the epidemic, and from the point of view of those who are actually in the madness themselves, the addicts.
Mm-hmm. And so many different points of view in one show. How many actors do you have?
Well, the cast calls for 14. We have 9 actors because we have a few people that are doubling parts. So, yeah, it's a big cast.
Okay. Now, Mary Beth, you work, this is real life for you,
right,
because
mm-hmm.
of your profession. Tell me a little bit about your input towards writing this play.
What I tried to do and what James has done so well is tell the truth about what addicts go through, about the suffering, about the judgment, the stigma. I've just witnessed it over and over. And sometimes what I try to do with them is just give them a place to go where they're not judged, even just for a minute or so, because most of their lives are surrounded by people who are judging them and not really understanding that addiction is a disease. It's not a choice. So anyway, my input would just more into the actual characters and different people over the years and that I've come across, as well as just what we looked at together as far as researching it on the internet and stuff. Mm-hmm. But all the stories are real. They're not made up. It just comes from my experience.
And Jim, I mean, obviously everyone in this community, everyone in almost every community in America right now has been touched by this issue. The opioid epidemic is very real for most of us. Was there a particular catalyst that made you go, I'm going to write a show about this?
The main thing was that before I met Mary Beth, let's say back like in the spring of 2017, I kind of knew that there was an opioid epidemic going on. I will confess to being a news junkie. I listened to about 4 hours of news a day. I listened to your station. I watched 60 Minutes on the weekend and so on and so forth. So I knew there was an opioid epidemic going on, but I thought, oh, it's out there someplace and somebody's taking care of it and so on and so forth. And then I met her, and then she started schooling me on the realities about how bad it really is, mm-hmm. and that it's getting worse. When I first started doing the research with her, I found out that more than 65,000 people died of drug overdoses in 2016. Mm-hmm. That's more people than died in the entire Vietnam War.
Wow.
In 2017, it was over 70,000. So the epidemic is getting worse. It was heartbreaking. On Christmas morning, I got word that 2 people here in Rowan County died of drug overdoses on Christmas morning within about an hour of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So finding out that it was as bad as it was and thinking to myself as a writer, I have a responsibility to try to help with this. And so the idea came to me to create a play that would raise public awareness about the epidemic. Mm-hmm. Because you raise public awareness, you raise public commentary. You raise public commentary, you get the government involved. And that's what it's going to take to fix this. It's going to be the federal government coming in and really taking major steps to stop this epidemic.
Mm-hmm. We just did a story in our newsroom how it's you're statistically speaking, you're more likely to die from an overdose than you are in a car accident now.
Right. In 2016, there were 42,000 people who died in automobile accidents. 65,000 people died of drug overdoses.
Yeah.
It used to be that automobile accidents were the number one cause of accidental death in America. But in 2016, it was almost, there was 50% more people who died of drug overdoses.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there was a statistic that came from the CDC recently that said that life expectancy in the United States has dropped 2 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
In the last few years, and it's because, according to the CDC, of suicides and drug overdoses.
Right. We had a story on that
as well.
Yeah,
a story on that as well.
And that, to me, was very telling when it changes all of humanity because of what we're facing here. Now, the play itself, you said it looks at things from different points of view. Tell me a little bit about the characters that we're going to meet.
Well, one of the principal characters is a doctor whom we call Dr. The character's name is Dr. Tewksbury, also known as Dr. T. He's basically the narrator, the teacher, the tour guide. He appears all the way through the play, and he will take certain aspects of the story we want to tell, and he will explain things to the audience, like where did heroin come from?
Mm-hmm.
How did we get in the heroin epidemic? How did we get into this whole mess in the 1990s with pain pills? How did that happen? How did it suddenly become okay to give pain pills to anybody who had any kind of pain? What happened after that? And then in the meantime, he tells the story about almost simultaneously with the rise of pain pills that a new type of heroin dealer was starting to come into the United States from a tiny state in Mexico. And bringing in heroin, not to the big cities, but to the smaller cities.
Mm-hmm.
And he explains how that spread. So he's one of the principal characters. Three of the characters are addicts themselves, and they tell the story of their lives and how they got hooked on heroin. They're pretty grim stories, and as Mary Beth alluded to earlier, they're true stories. They're about people. They're about people that I've known, that I've interviewed or heard interviewed, or represented when I was a lawyer in California. I've changed their names. I've changed their situations. I've changed where they are, and so on and so forth, to protect their identities. But they are real people.
Mm-hmm.
Then one of the other characters is a woman who has lost her daughter, her teenage daughter, to the epidemic, and the daughter was cheerleader. Got good grades, sang in the sanctuary choir, gets hooked on heroin, dies of an overdose.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of the story is that this woman and her husband and their other son having to deal with the death of their daughter. There is a scene between two law enforcement officers who are at complete opposite ends of the spectrum on how to deal with the problem. And there is a scene where there is a meeting of a small city's town council. A doctor is coming in, wants to open a methadone clinic, and there is all of that sort of, we don't want this happening in our town. So there's a scene like that as well.
It seems like you have a lot of different perspectives, like the community that we live in. I know that, you know, Appalachia, we're seeing all of the towns in Appalachia and the cities. The larger urban areas down to the smallest communities are seeing these exact scenes.
Exactly.
And there is a lot of conversation about how to combat it and how to deal with it, You know, the conversations about the methadone clinics and yes. the needle exchanges yes. and the therapy that's provided and rehabilitation services. And a lot of different people have different opinions. Mm-hmm. Does your play come to a conclusion about what is the solution?
Yes. Yes. Dr. T mm-hmm. and another doctor who is introduced later on, as Dr. Maggie Stone. They have a section toward the end of the play where they talk about what are we going to do about this. And there's four or five different approaches, but the main thing is to reduce the stigma, make it safer for those who are addicted to whatever substance for them to use it. That's like needle exchange programs here in Round County. That's one of them. Safe injection sites is something that is brand new in the United States, but they've been doing it in Europe for, I don't know, 20 years, mm-hmm. probably 20 yeah, years. Yeah. Yep. Safe injection site is where an addict can go into a facility and shoot up under supervision with clean needles. And I think in some cases they use pharmaceutical heroin. So it's clean heroin instead of something that's been cut with fentanyl or something like that. And the object of that, or the purpose of that, is to reduce harm, is to reduce the number of people who are dying of overdoses.
Controlled environment.
Controlled environment, exactly. And then we the other, so medical assisted treatment is one of the big things that we push. And the other thing is that to decriminalize all drugs, to criminalize the use of them. And I don't mean completely, but to make it less punitive, for example, mm-hmm. instead of giving somebody a 2-year sentence for having a pot on their person or smoking it, you give them a citation like a parking ticket, make them pay a fine and get them in a treatment program. Now, that's going to make a lot of eyebrows raise, except Portugal in 2001 made all drugs legal. Did the same thing that I just outlined. If you get caught smoking pot, you get a citation. You do community service and so on. But all drugs became legal. In 2015, their overdose rate went down to 3 per 1 million people.
Wow.
Italy and Spain followed suit. We don't have the stats for them, but we know that in the European Union at large, the numbers are 17 people per million, 17 deaths per million people. So the overall average is 17.3 for the entire European Union, because Europe has long since been dealing with this problem. In Amsterdam, in Holland, drugs have been legal since, I don't know, before there was mimeograph paper. I remember when I was in Holland in 1976 and sitting in this place, and there's this little menu at the end of the bar in Dutch, and I'm trying to translate it, and I finally realized it was pot and cocaine. You could buy it right there in the corner bar. So anyway, they've been way ahead of it. So three deaths per million in Portugal. In this country, it's 215 deaths per million. So
The name of the movement is International Reduction of Harm. Mm-hmm. They've been on that for a long time. And what James just said, it's they've proven that what their approach works because they've studied it. We finally have a reduction of harm movement in America too, but it's very there's still a lot of fight about all the different things that are known to help, but America's pushing back. So we're hoping that changes.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic, and we'll be right back after this.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Woofer, and Mr. Microphone. Tonight, the state of health matters is strong. We are growing and creating new information at the fastest pace since 1999. But we can do more. I'm sending Morehead State Public Radio a bold new plan to lower the cost of health matters to zero. It's the right thing to do. Ask your doctor if health matters is right for you.
Tune in to Health Matters Saturday mornings at 10 and Sunday mornings at 6 on Morehead State Public Radio.
And welcome back to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and I'm here with Jim Colgan and Mary Beth to talk about a new play called Avoidance. Guys, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Now, the show opens tonight at the Rowan County Arts Center at 7:30 p.m. is the showtime. Doors open at 7. We'll play again tomorrow night at 7:30, and then again on Sunday at 2 p.m. Tickets through the Rowan County Arts Center, you can give them a call, 783-9857, or email rcac@moreheadtourism.com. And it's at the Rowan County Arts Center, $10 for adults, $5 for students. And you say here that this play is not for children.
That's correct.
Not really suitable for people under the age of 17. And that's because we're talking about the drug epidemic.
Yes.
And now the situations in, personally, I have a teenager, and I'm very frank and open with the drug epidemic to him. Is there a reason why you don't think that teenagers should be at the play? Younger teenagers than 17, I should say.
There's a fair amount of profanity. There's a fair amount of description of adult situations.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't think it's suitable for children under 17.
Right.
Unless their parents are as enlightened as you are, Leanne, and they would be able to handle it. I mean, you know, I do know some of the teenagers that work with the theater, and they would be fine with it. But I think in general, it's best to just make it adults or older children.
Right. I you know, my son observes the news because that's my wheelhouse. So he is aware of things going on in the community, and specifically with the drug epidemic. I know he and I were in the car once, and we saw someone that I know that's a first responder just blow through a light with the lights on and pull over to this car that was parked, and jerk the driver out of the front seat and start performing CPR.
Wow.
And I realized, oh, that person just overdosed. And that I know the person who was the first responder, and so... you know, this is something that we all are encountering in our community. And that was like at the Walmart intersection. You know, it's right out here in the open. This isn't something that's hidden behind closed doors anymore.
Right.
This is something that when you're walking into Walmart, you're going, is that person taking a nap? Or do I need to call 911?
Right.
I was in Walmart. We started rehearsals before Christmas, and I was on my way home and stopped at Walmart to pick up something, and there was a person having an overdose right there in the foyer of Walmart, and people were coming running, and the police and the EMTs came running too. So yeah, it's right out there in front of us at all times.
And the point of this show, generally speaking, is to reduce the harm.
Yes.
And we were talking before the break about the reduction of harm movement that's happened in Portugal and in the European Union, and hope and starting to take root here in the United States. I know it's interesting because I've heard people on both ends of the spectrum discuss what we should do about this opioid epidemic, how we should fight it. And I've heard them both say, well, we should reduce the harm by providing safe injection sites, and we should be able to you know, decriminalize the usage of these narcotics. And then on the other side, I've heard people say, just legalize it all and put it on the shelf.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
But it's kind of the same thing.
It is kind of the same thing.
So it's interesting that we have this polar opposition of people trying to figure out what to do, but they both have the answer already. Mm-hmm. Now, how do we make it happen?
Well, you have to balance it between the two groups of people that you just described and with the other people who don't believe in it, who are opposed to it, who are opposed to any kind of action being taken to help addicts because, let's face it, they're just a bunch of dope fiends.
And there's some counties in Kentucky still who are resistant and will not do syringe exchanges. I mean, it change takes time. And I was working in Franklin County, and I was fortunate enough, I volunteered my time to help them open a syringe exchange there in Frankfurt. And it's such a powerful thing to do that and and to reach out to people who are still out there. And that's a point of contact for treatment. if they're interested. There's no judgment of them. Nurses look at their wounds if they want it. Mm-hmm. They get their syringes and they go. And so.
And really, it's about understanding, erasing that stigma.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And compassion.
Yes.
Right.
I think a lot of times, a lot of the problems that we're facing here and in other places, but, you know, I can speak to my experience. A lot of the problems that we're facing have to do with a lack of compassion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I don't know the answer to come in and change that. But this sounds like it could help people be more aware of the need for that. Do you guys address that question at all about this? How do you address in the show the stigma issue?
We, one of the other doctor characters, Dr. Stone, she gets up and starts to, I mean, she lectures about the fact that addicts are not perverts, they're not deviants, they're not criminals, they're not going to steal your children and turn them into sex slaves. They're basically just people who are sick. Addiction is an illness like any other illness, and it needs to be treated like any other illness. Education, that was one of the keys for writing the play for me, was educate, teach people what this is really about. The people who can end up being drug addicts sometimes is surprising. And so we bring that out. We kind of hit pretty hard on that one, that this is a disease, that it's been recognized by the medical profession for probably 30 years, that addiction, probably longer than that, because mm-hmm. the Betty Ford Clinic started in the late 1970s, early 1980s. So the medical profession has recognized that addiction is a disease for a very long time. And so we have to convince people and teach people that drug addiction is a disease just like anything else, and it needs to be treated. The problem with addiction is even when you treat it, it doesn't go away. You can treat a heroin addict, you can get them on a medically assisted program, and you can get them on methadone, for example, and they can lead totally normal lives, go back to school, reconnect with their families and their friends and their children, and get married, you know, go to college, and so on and so forth. Heroin addicts, that's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. So we have to look at it from that point of view as well.
Right. Okay, guys, we're talking about avoidance here on Morehead State Public Radio. The show opens tonight at the Round County Arts Center. Tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 p.m., doors open at 7. And on Sunday, the show is at 2 p.m., doors open at 1:30 at the Round County Arts Center. Tickets are $10 for adults, $5 for students. And remember, this is a mature audience only show.
And they accept cash and check only as far as the money goes.
And let me say before we go that this show is being produced from generous grants from the City of Morehead and the Brown County Fiscal Court. I was so pleased that they just, when I went to them with my budget and said, this is what I need to do, they said, absolutely, we'll give you the money, we'll provide it. One other thing I want to point out is that all proceeds, all ticket sales, will go to facilities in Round County, nonprofit facilities in Round County, who are treating or supporting people who are suffering in the opioid epidemic.
What a wonderful cause. So we hope you'll go out and see the show, and that's really all the time we have for today here on Open Mic. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you.
And we'll see you listeners next Friday.